This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week consists of recaps of some of the leading stories from the past week. African American students are 3.5 times more likely to be suspended or expelled than their white classmates in public schools. Those numbers are from the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights. Schools in our area are no exception, and officials here are working to curb those numbers.
In South Bend, statistics show African American students are disproportionately suspended compared to their white peers. Many of those students end up in jail, forming what is known as the school-to-prison pipeline. Now, South Bend school officials are working to close that school-to-prison pipeline for good.
Other. It's a broad term. The dictionary defines it as different in nature or kind. It can encompass so much, and it's also the number one reason children in South Bend schools are suspended.
Data shows that in our South Bend Community School Corporation that there's this whole list of other, and children get suspended from school for other.
Marla Godette is a home-based therapy provider. She works with kids who have been suspended from school.
I have had clients suspended for sharing chicken nuggets. I've had clients suspended for tapping pencils. I've had clients suspended for wearing a jacket that he thought was a sweater.
According to a study commissioned by South Bend Schools, the other category beats out things like profanity, drugs, vandalism, and even fighting.
To be terminated for 3 days because you shared food should not be on the same level as to be terminated for 3 days because you fought someone. And I'm finding that my clients, this is the standard that they're held to.
But there's another part of this that Marla says is concerning, but not out of the ordinary. Just over a third of students at South Bend schools are African American, yet they account for nearly two-thirds of the district suspensions. We also looked at suspension numbers by race in other area school districts, including Elkhart, Concord, Penn Harris, Madison, and Niles. In all those districts, African American students were suspended at higher rates than white students. And it's not just the racial disparity. When you compare numbers between South Bend schools and the largest district in the state, Indianapolis Public Schools, South Bend suspends a higher percentage of its overall students.
Considering the size of the school district and the amount of suspensions, it just doesn't add up.
Out-of-school suspensions needs to be a last resort.
South Bend and other school systems have had this problem for years, and South Bend has been working to address it. That's where Nathan Boyd comes in. He's only the second person to be the director of African American Student and Parent Services at South Bend Schools, and he's a former principal.
We do not want to have this automatic system where all children, all schools are looking at a piece of paper, and their very first and only tool is an out-of-school suspension.
The school district has begun to implement what it calls restorative justice. It's a process of working alongside students to solve their problems and moving away from ultimatums and zero-tolerance policies.
School-to-prison pipeline has been built on these automatic responses, these no-way-out type rules, and getting our kids involved in a legal system way before they really need to be.
So that's how you classify it.
Boyd says the district will also be working on providing training to teachers on how to approach kids who've experienced trauma. The trauma can include things like living in poverty and experiencing domestic violence.
Teachers go to college to teach. They want to help children. They want to love children. They want to feel like I can make a difference, right? No one's teaching you about the hungry kid who can't pay attention. Or, you know, the kid who just witnessed his mom get beat up and drugged down the street.
Godette and Boyd say the important thing is keeping kids in school and off the streets, where the likelihood of them ending up in jail is high. Both acknowledge that change is needed.
I do believe that we're at a point in not just South Bend, but in other school districts that I've dealt with. It's time for out with the old. It's just time.
They are the
Boyd has recently hired a certified trainer that can educate teachers about working with kids who have been through these traumatic experiences. He says changes in a school district the size of South Bend's will take time, but he acknowledges how important those changes are.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. Some testy words this past week between South Bend school board members and state education officials who've criticized what they call a lack of a plan to improve South Bend's struggling Navarre Middle School. The school has earned a failing grade from the state for six straight years now. Once again, WSBT 22's Max Lewis is on the story.
This is the plan that the school board says it has for Navarre, but a representative for the state says the school district has no plan, and after the meeting, things got intense.
South Bend school board member Leslie Wesley faced off with Indiana Board of Education representative David Freitas all over the controversial plan to fix Navarre Middle School.
As far as I heard tonight, there still is no plan.
It's something of a he said, she said, with South Bend insisting it has a plan and Freitas saying it doesn't.
The notion that we had no plan is incorrect.
Several board members took issue with Freitas' comments to the South Bend Tribune, in which he said the school is not prepared for an approaching Wednesday plan submission.
But it's a bit of an affront to state that we seem completely unprepared.
But the meeting took a turn when Wesley called out Freitas by name, saying kids read the headlines too.
So I ask you to think about that. Think about it before you write or question or respond to the media.
All of it leading to this post-meeting confrontation.
Don't come to our meetings like that. That's ridiculous.
South Bend has until Wednesday to submit the plan. Freitas says if the district falls short, he and other board members are in favor of taking drastic measures.
We have options that allow us to close schools, merge schools, and those have sort of, through the process of being involved in turnaround the state of Indiana, floated to the top of my list of remedies.
Both Wesley and Freitas had different accounts of what was said during that confrontation.
The Indiana Board of Education will meet on March 6th to consider South Bend's plan that involves partnering with an outside group. Freitas and other state board members have said publicly they believe that effort is inadequate to fix one of Indiana's worst performing public schools. The St. Joseph County Council voted 7-1 Tuesday to again postpone voting on a property tax hike for 2020. The additional money would go to a fund used to cover capital needs such as IT equipment, computers, police cars, and building repairs. The South Bend Tribune reports the council had already postponed the decision once at its February 12th meeting. A committee meeting March 26th will review further information about the proposal for increasing the tax rate for the Cumulative Capital Development Fund. The next chance the increase could be approved is the council's April 9th meeting. The move could result in tax increases from $5 to $14 annually for homeowners. Those estimates are based on properties with market values of $100,000 and $200,000, respectively, but it would only apply to homes that have not reached property tax caps. That's about 60% of the homes in the county and primarily outside of South Bend and Mishawaka. Helping renters is the goal of an ordinance passed by the South Bend Common Council this past Monday. Once the ordinance is signed into law, it'll require landlords to have their rental properties inspected. The program is due to go into effect later this year.
The focus will be on properties that have code violations or registered complaints. But in 2020, all rental properties will be required to have a rental safety verification, proof that the property meets safe and sanitary conditions.
It's hard to go from one bad landlord to the next. So.
Nisha Brown's girlfriend has rented this home for the past 2 years. And this winter, they've had to suffer without properly working heat.
She's had problems with her vent. Like, she doesn't really have good heat going upstairs. And they were supposed to come fix it before the winter, and they have not done nothing.
A situation like this is something the South Bend Common Council hopes can be fixed by the Rental Safety Verification Program.
Heat, water. Just think of your basic functions within a home that gets to safety and health. And peeling, chipping paint is one of the very clear identified items that we'll be looking for.
The goal is to make sure that all of the more than 16,000 rental properties in South Bend are safe to live in. Landlords will be provided a list of 9 items that will be enforced on each property, including lead paint, which can be a detriment to children.
Our children are our most precious resource, and I think we have a duty as elected officials really to make sure that they have the best opportunity to succeed.
As for Brown, she says they've had to spend $800 on their electric bill due to using space heaters.
Please come fix it. Nobody has, it's already a struggle people's going through. You just need to, if you're the landlord, you need to come get it done. She has kids in here. How would they like that if it was their house?
Now again, in 2019, landlords can volunteer to have their properties evaluated. In 2020, it will be required. But landlords will not have to pay for the first 2 inspections. Once a property passes inspection, landlords can then have to renew their certification every 4 to 5 years.
WSBT 22's Brooke O'Daniel reporting. Code enforcement expects to inspect up to 800 units this year, about 1,200 per year after 2019, inspecting all units by mid-2025. There's a new addiction recovery home for women opening in South Bend. The Upper Room Recovery Home plans to open in May. The nonprofit will house up to 16 women with addictions. Until now, it's been housed next door in the First United Methodist Church on North Main Street.
Women first have to prove that they've been sober for a minimum of 30 days. Then they take you in and help you on your path towards sober living. After between 30 to 60 days, they expect women to have a job in the community. Women pay about $400 a month to stay there.
The average stay for women in the recovery home is between 9 months to a year. Success rates are a hard thing to quantify. But Assistant Director Linda Jung Zimmerman says that transitional housing, like the recovery home, boosts success rates in a variety of ways, including consistent employment, family relationships, social relationships, and income level.
It's really for us taking a holistic approach. So not only healing the body, but also focusing on mentally, spiritually, working on nutrition and cooking, and to really have a healthy lifestyle all around.
A donor who is part of the First United Methodist Church community gifted the building. They now have to renovate it before an expected May opening. The women's home is also in the middle of a capital campaign. So far, the group has raised about $71,000 of the $160,000 goal. Jim Hendricks, the building manager for the Methodist Church next door, says a place like this for women is long overdue.
I'm really looking forward to getting a women's recovery home going. It's desperately needed in our area, and I saw what a good job it's helped so many men over there. It would be great to be involved with this.
Hendricks has been working with Upper Room Recovery since 2015. He stresses that community involvement is crucial to helping the new home establish a good footprint in the area.
From the day people arrive at the home, the goal is to start living independently. The home will require that women take NA or AA meetings.
WSBT 22's Tolly Taylor reports that volunteers and donations are welcome. Contact First United Methodist Church if you'd like to help. It's time to get out your wallets. St. Joseph Health System is raffling off a house. That's right, an entire house. WSBT 22's Jennifer Copeland explains.
You can buy tickets for that 28th annual house raffle, and tickets are $175, but offers are limited, with only 4,500 going on sale, and it is first come, first serve. That house is a ranch style 4-bedroom home valued at $305,000. It comes with granite countertops, a 2-car garage, patio, porch, and a finished basement. All of the money goes back into the community.
The house raffle has generated over $5.5 million over the years, and all of the funding has gone back into the community to help those in most need.
There will also be smaller money prizes ranging from $175 to $16,000 for those entering the raffle.
Offers go on sale this coming Tuesday, and they usually sell out within a few days.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.